Welcome everyone to the refreshed, the rejuvenated, the revamped Pick and Pop podcast for the Pick and Roll. My name's Steve Chalmers and I'm joined by Craig Freeman each and every week. From here on in, we cover everything to do with Aussie hoops. Craig, thanks for joining us and welcome to Team Pick and Roll.
Yeah, excited to be here. My first time getting, I was going to say my face on Pick and Roll, but it's just my voice. Luckily for all you listeners out there, this is not a video podcast. This will be very excited about this upcoming season. Hopefully it rolls on for a while. Every Tuesday night, I think we're aiming to drop a podcast, so keep an eye out for that. Pickandroll.com.au is your first point of call, obviously, but we would love you to subscribe and comment on iTunes, search Pick and Pop. We're also available on Spotify.
And of course, Audio Boom as well, but certainly first point of call, as you mentioned, Craig, pickandroll.com.au. Thanks for having them on board. This is obviously a little bit revamped. We have to thank our previous host and co-host, Damien Arsenis and Luke Sicari, ran the Pick and Pop for probably just over a year, but it's been about a year hiatus. So we're hoping to give it a little bit of a refreshed look, but of course we'll still be covering everything to do with Aussie hoops. We've got a little bit of differentiation between you and I, Craig. Obviously, I love the NBL and the WNBL. I'm the expert podcaster. Well, I'd like to say that for Pick and Roll because I do host the only other podcast on the Pick and Roll. That's Box Score, the NBL Fantasy Podcast. Myself and Dean Zardo have that. You can find me on Twitter at @CP_Chalmers. We certainly love the interaction with you guys. Hopefully, you're listening from the first podcast and then throughout. Craig, you're very active on Twitter yourself. You're an expert in all facets of the NBA, so we've got all parts of the game of basketball covered.
Unfortunately for anyone out there who does love the Pick and Roll podcast but don't like your voice, there's really nowhere else to go. You got the two from two special. You can follow me on Twitter at @CFreeman, SEEFREEMAN, not C as in the letter C. I tried to plug my Instagram, but Steve said we're having none of that. So on to the next subject. And now what we will cover, as Steve already mentioned, we've got a bit of a diverse background. We'll be covering the Australian game, of course, from all over the world. NBA guys, WNBA players when it's in season, they're the NBL, the WNBL. But we'll also be hoping to cover some of the events you may not see on your local newsfeed, but are just as important.
Yeah, that's right. Something like the juniors on the rise, guys coming out of high school, guys and girls. The Australian Junior Championships is certainly something you don't hear too much about in your local Aussie Hoops newsfeed. And I know we've got our hands all over those, the AJCs as we like to call it. The Australians in Europe flying our flag. There's a stack of Aussies out in Europe, which you don't get to hear about too much. There's guys and girls right across the US nation flying our flag in college. And of course, just the odd tidbit that's a little bit quirky off the mainstream that you may not hear too much about in Australian basketball. So that's pretty much what we're going to cover here on throughout. Let's start with our first segment, and that is to light it up. So light it up, that's exactly what it is. We're highlighting some male and female players right across the nation. Doesn't have to be NBL, WNBL, could be in the NBA, could be in the Australian Junior Championships, as I mentioned earlier. But of course, this past week, you know, the NBL and the WNBL kicked into gear, so we're going to highlight some individual players from that. The first one comes from the Illawarra Hawks. They played in a quadruple overtime game against Melbourne United. And AJ Ogilvy racked up a fairly impressive stat line.
Yeah, 15 points and 21 rebounds. It was a new look Illawarra. They normally, you know, Bevo's team, you can see him get up and down the floor, popping threes, playing fun, playing fast. And we saw a bit of grinded out action, and AJ really showcased that himself with 21 boards. He was all over it on the offensive and defensive ends. And then we saw pretty much the most exciting news story heading into the NBL season. We all knew how great Melbourne would be, and you know, there's a lot of good players floating around the league, but with Bogut returning to Sydney, it was all eyes on them, and Jerome Randall put on a show in his first game with 28 points on 11 of 21 shooting. Wouldn't be surprised to see him lead the league in scoring this year and make a strong push for MVP.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about this guy? New guy up in Cairns, leading the way at the point guard position. Wasn't too much to be told about him in preseason. I liked him through the blitz. I thought he was a really good player and a great pickup for Mike Kelly's team up in Cairns. But Romello Trimble, Mallow Trimble, as he likes to go by, had 32 points, led his team to a win over the Brisbane Bullets. Just the 8 of 13 from the field, but he got to the line and he has that ball on a string.
Yeah, one of the most exciting players to watch in the league this year. We're pretty lucky, the amount of good point guards we have in the competition at the moment. We mentioned Randall, we got Ware, we got Cotton, and Trimble seems to be adding to those stocks, and he could be as good as any of them, which is incredible that we're adding another player of that talent to our local stocks.
Yeah, great point you make there. That's the NBL done and dusted. Let's take a look at a couple of stars over in the WNBL. Just the four games in round one. But Alex Bunton returned from a long way off. She's had some injury problems in the past. She suited up for the Sydney Uni Flames and made sure that she lit it up with 27 points, efficient 10 of 13 from the field. She took home 7 rebounds to go with it. But I tell you what, Craig Freeman identified one other player in our pre-notes or pre-note-taking session, and that's Kia Nurse. Great pickup.
Yeah, Nursey out there at Canberra, 26 points, 9 of 17 shooting in her first game in the WNBL. Canberra looking like a very dangerous team. We might touch on them a little bit later in the podcast, but great start from her, and they'll be hoping for more of that as the season continues.
I love how we've just picked up our first ever nickname in the Pick and Pop podcast. Kia Nurse, now known as Nursey. The Canadian has certainly come to Australia, would surely have picked up that nickname in the first number of hours.
First training session, 100%, the first time she went to pass it to someone, they would have had a nickname for her.
Yes, Nursey.
Wouldn't be surprised if Kelsey Griffin, a welcomed new Australian, mm-hmm. gave her that name. She loves to fit in with the Aussie fam down here and would have been quick to jump on that one.
Part of the induction process for sure. So that's lighted up. 5 players in the opening podcast. Let's take a look at the NBL. Round one done and dusted, of course. We all know the scores. You can obviously see them at nbl.com.au if you haven't caught up with some of the scores. But just want to take out a couple of tidbits from round one. First of all, Melbourne United obviously didn't set the house on fire, played in quadruple overtime, then had that home loss to New Zealand Breakers. What I was shocked about, two things. Dave Barlow, absolutely rejuvenated. I couldn't believe that Barlow was out there playing such heavy minutes and just looking so blissful in the rotation.
I guess there's the interesting thing about Dave Barlow, you know, he isn't an older guy, he's a veteran in the league, but and it's a shame that this has happened, but because he has had so many injuries throughout his career, it's almost like he is younger than his age says, and he really seems to be in career-best form right now, career-best shape, if anything. A guy who is working hard nonstop from all accounts, and a guy that Melbourne United, I know, were super high on last year. Obviously tough to crack minutes when you've got a guy like Ty Wesley also playing the four. But they really didn't stress too much. Ty left, it's a big loss, but they knew what Dave could do and seems like the perfect fit for him there right now. Catch and shoot, puts the ball on the floor a little bit. I know when teams press and get the ball out of Casper's and Bubbles' hands, they don't really have an issue with Dave bringing up the floor, and he's looked good so far, and he's going to get a lot of open looks this year.
Well, we all know the 34-year-old is well known to be always in the gym, always making sure that his body is A-plus, in A-plus condition. So certainly no surprise that he's healthy. But just to keep on the floor for that long, obviously at 34 you expect him to see maybe 20 minutes, but certainly to provide that much intent to the Melbourne United lineup. Speaking of the lineup, they went into quadruple overtime. It's you know, well known that they got that 1-point win over Illawarra. I was surprised I didn't see what I've claimed as the death lineup, a la Golden State Warriors style. Casper Ware, Chris Golding, Mitch McCarron, DJ Kennedy and Josh Boone. I think they're 5 best players. To see them all on the floor at the final stages or at the same time, I thought that's what we're going to see a lot of this year. Didn't see it at all in game one. And of course, DJ Kennedy was injured in game two, so we didn't see it there either.
I think DJ Kennedy mentioned in the post-game interview that he was going through a couple of injuries in the preseason. Maybe he's not at 100%. We know he didn't play in the second game, of course, but if his strength and conditioning isn't at 100%, maybe they didn't want to put him out there against power forwards. That would have been a very tough matchup. He probably would have had to guard Conklin in that first matchup. So that's tough to put him there early on in the season. And I think You know, they're just biding their time. That's definitely a lineup we'll see, hopefully. I'm excited to see that lineup because Casper Ware with the ball, with Golding and McCarron on either wing, you kind of don't have anywhere to go.
Dean Vickerman telling media post-game that DJ Kennedy was 80% ready to go on Sunday. They conservatively left him out, but he's going to be 100% certain to play in round two. Let's take a look at Perth Wildcats. Obviously, they missed the grand final last year, and to their fan standards, that was a failure. I think they've really retooled, despite keeping some of the main core. Getting guys like Nick Kay and Mitch Norton from Illawarra, that was the real plus. Then they've added someone that you really rate in Tarico White. What can you tell us about Tarico White? Because there was real question marks in the preseason. He's come out with two great games and maybe just silenced some of his critics.
I think the first thing you notice is how much he pops off the page with his athleticism. Unbelievable athlete, incredibly strong. Not only can get up and down the floor, but you know, good vertically. Very strong for his size, and a guy who really is only in the NBL because the league he was in put a height restriction in, which seems absurd.
A height restriction?
So I think
that... Whereabouts is this?
You're only allowed one player over 6'7 or 6'8 in the Korean league, I believe. And so they said that over 6'6", and they said he wasn't big enough to be their center. So if you're not big enough to be the center, you basically can't play there as an import.
Unbelievable that they do that in Korea. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard of anywhere else where there's a height limit, especially in basketball, where height seems to matter most. The Adelaide 36ers showed us as fans exactly what they can do against the Kings. They obviously fell short at home in their home opener against Perth. But you have some concerns about some of their depth.
Yeah, you have a look at the bench lineup, and they're relying on a few young guys to play pretty big minutes. And we did see in that game against Sydney, you know, they got the win and looked very good. But once you go past, you know, Drumich is great, Sobey's great. We all know what DJ can do. Moore is great, and Wiley is looking like he's going to be a stud this year. But you go past that starting five, and you're relying on 10 minutes from Froling. You're relying on 10 minutes from Deleon, who, by all accounts, loves a jump shot. You're relying on Taze to play decent minutes at backup center, at backup guards. Sorry, and Majok Deng. Also, he played 15 minutes a game last year. He might even have to step that up this year. There's just not a whole lot of depth behind that starting lineup. We saw it last year, Drumich coming off the bench. Really nice piece to bring in off the bench and play your backup to, and a little bit on the wing. He's starting this year. Sobey's got the ball in his hands a lot more. We don't have Shorter there. I just think if they have an injury to that starting five, where do you go?
Well, I think Joey Wright has a pedigree behind him that he knows how he can develop young players. Obviously, he's picked up two young guys in Harry Froling and Jack McVeigh over the offseason. I think that's the next group of guys coming in. You've seen that he's developed players like Nathan Sobey, Anthony Drumich, to become legitimate starters in the NBL. I mean, it may take a year, it may take 2 years, but you see guys like Harry Froling, McVeigh. Majuk Deng was already part of that process last year. He's probably taken another step forward. If one of their big guys goes down, of course, it's probably going to be Deng that goes into that lineup. But then how much pressure do you put on the second unit, and how many minutes are you logging in the starters in, you know, a 28-game season? So it'd be interesting to, you know, see how those minutes distribution goes moving forward.
Yeah, it will be, and I think they really need to keep DJ and Sobey healthy, especially if one of those two go. They don't really have a direct replacement. I think Deng slotting in can pretty much cover any of the wings or the forwards. It's really that inside presence from DJ or Sobey leading the team.
And I think it's probably the issue that could be when they're in trouble and they need just a score, you know, who's their go-to scorer? Is it going to be Sobey?
It's probably Sobey or Drumich at this point. DJ's brilliant, but you know it is harder to have a go-to player down low because someone has to get them the ball and they have to get the ball in the right spots. He's brilliant and he's going to have plenty of 22, 23, 24 and 10 games. But sometimes at the end of the game, you do need a guard or a wing or someone who can handle the ball to just put their head down, get to the hoop or get a jump shot. And I think that's probably Sobey's next development, being able to become that guy at the end of the games that can shoulder the load a little more and in the half court setting still get his numbers and carry the team a little bit.
Well, I don't think Mike Kelly will have that problem trying to find a go-to scorer, because they've found one in round number one in Mallow Trimble. We mentioned him before, 32 points, 8 of 13 from the field, 14 of 16 from the line. His ball handling skills was excellent. I'm not too sure how long it's going to take for opposing teams to figure him out, because he seems to have a little bit up his sleeve in terms of a trick bag. And I tell you what, many guys, and this happens year in, year out, they put cans, they put a pen through cans, but they've won again, and they're 1-0.
Yeah, they just keep rolling out competitive teams, and you got Nate Jawai joining that starting lineup again. We know what he can do. He's a very experienced campaigner. Loughton is, well, he's been doing it for years. We know you're going to get week in, week out. He shoots the ball well from deep pretty much every time he steps on the floor. And if Trimble can give them, not even just that, if Trimble can give them a consistent scorer and a guy who can get him into their offense, they're just going to be scary and a tough team to play week in and week out. They got some good depth. Low off the bench is a great guy to have a 1-2 punch with Jawai, a little bit of a different look. And I think they're going to be a tough team for anyone to play week in and week out.
Well, he's a 5-star guard before he went, according to ESPN, before going undrafted in 2017. Played for Iowa and then Cairns. Obviously, the 23-year-old Mallow Trimble is going to be a guy to watch this NBL season. Speaking of young guys, I think this season we're going to see a little bit of youth really providing. And you've seen that in round one already, where you've seen young guys getting a go early, especially in Illawarra.
Yeah, I was really excited to see these two young players get a red-hot go against the defending champions in their first NBL games ever, Nah and Greeter. And I think they both played very well. Showed great poise, which I think is brilliant. You know, the knock on Nah coming out was that he was a little too small. He might not be able to handle the athleticism at a professional level. And I think he was found out a little bit on the defensive end, and I think going forward, teams will probably pick on him. If you have a bigger guard on him, they might pick on him in the post and things like that. But on the other end of the floor, he just played with a nice poise. He was controlled. He was fearless at the same time. And I think he's got a pretty bright future, and Greed is the same. He looked like he didn't miss a beat on both ends of the floor, was really composed and didn't look like a first-year player, which is a pretty big compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm chips in on Emmett Nah. Obviously, the all-time assists leader at St. Mary's, passing, you know, old mate Matthew Dellavedova, who's an absolute Australian icon these days. Nah played 15 minutes in that first game against Melbourne. As you mentioned, just the poise he showed was certainly what stood out to me. Had the 2 assists, 4 points. And there's a big knock on Cedric Jackson at the moment, and he could be the first import that just isn't cutting it. And guess who's going to be there to step up and take his place?
Yeah, you'd expect that if they're going to cut Ced, they're probably bringing in another guard, but you're probably going to see extended minutes from Nah. And I don't think right now you'd feel too bad about giving him one or two games where he might have to shoulder a load while you do go and find a player or have to wait for them to come over. I do think on the defensive end he could get found out a little bit, but as a 15 to 20 minute a game guard off the bench in your first season of professional basketball, he's acquitted himself well so far, and I'd expect that to him to look like that all season.
Speaking of young players, the 20-year-old, this one for me was absolutely out of left field. He's the only player under the Next Stars program that was introduced by the NBL this season. His nickname is Tugs. Brian Bowen the second. I thought the second was just junior, but turns out it's the second. He's come in out of high school, La Lumiere, and he's playing minutes, game one, and producing something for the Kings.
In his first game, he had 18 minutes. He put up 13 points, looked very solid out there. This Kings team looked a little rattled in their first game, and most of their starters were double-digit plus-minus negatives. He comes out, and he's only a minus one in 18 minutes, and besides Randall, it'd be fair to say he looked maybe the best player on the floor for them. His athleticism came out well in the game. I think he knows what he can and can't do. He's obviously not always going to play this well. He did get to the line a lot, and he shot 5 or 6 from the line, which is nice. He needs to continue to do that and force the issue and use his strengths to his advantage, which is always going to be how well he gets up and down the floor and his athleticism on this team.
Obviously, this next Stars program probably came through with the Terence Ferguson system or the experiment. I mean, I've got to give props to Brian Bowen because I thought he'd have the exact same mentality as Terence Ferguson, where he'd, you know, he'd be very raw. He wouldn't play too many minutes early on. He'd get better towards the latter end of the season. But to put in a performance like that straight off the bat, full credit to you.
Yeah, it's a brilliant effort, and we saw Ferguson get drafted. We saw Moutier get drafted a few years before that, going through China. And you know, the more players that take this pathway and do show success at this level, and then can transition onto the next level, the better the league's going to be. Because you know, instead of Moutier going to China, the next Moutier goes, "Hey, let's go to the NBL. I can follow in these guys' footsteps. I can play good minutes," and that's only great for the league moving forward. And I think it's really forward thinking, and I'm pretty sure the NBL is one of the only professional leagues in the world that has something to it. And I've talked with a couple of guys who cover the NBA and work in that sort of setting, and they think it's quite groundbreaking and a really good idea, especially with so much controversy around the NCAA system at the moment.
And by all reports, Jeremy Lolliger via Olgun Ulich has said that there may be a couple more on the way in terms of the next Stars program, so certainly watch this space. Flipping over to the WNBL, round one, four games in the books. And it all started with a bang because the University of Canberra Capitals had a massive win over Sydney Uni and they were two stars short. Mariana Tolo and Leilani Mitchell are still to come into this Capitals side. And you mentioned Kia Nurse in the Light It Up segment, 26 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. But I'm telling you, the Caps have the pieces to take it right up to WNBL championship favourites, Melbourne and Townsville.
Yeah, they started a second-year guard, Matty Rocci, who played pretty well. But I imagine replacing that with Leilani once it gets added into the lineup. Scherfi looked very good out there. She had 22 points on only 11 shots. Kelsey Griffin only took the 7 shots in this game, and we know how talented she is. She's represented Australia now after being naturalised, one of the superstars of this league, and just does her job day in and day out. This team is super scary. Nurse looks like an MVP candidate. Griffin, we know, is an MVP level player. If Scherf can add to her game and continue playing as well as she did in that first one, not even to that level, if she can just be a consistent, good double-double threat every time she steps out, you add who could be the best guard in the league to the lineup, and you add Tolo. Watch out. There is talent start to finish, and we've seen how good they played with those two players out. Two players slide to the bench, that depth is going to look very good.
I'm glad you spoke about the depth straight off, because I think depth's going to play an important factor in this WNBL season. Some teams have it, and I think they're going to be at the pointy end of the ladder come season's end, and some other teams don't quite have the depth to run with these bigger teams, and I think they'll be at the lower end come season's end. Lauren Scherf, obviously she had a nice junior career leading up into a senior career at Dandenong. I think she may have just found her niche up in Canberra.
Yeah, she had a pretty good Siebel season with Diamond Valley, and I think it took that fitness and form into this WNBL season, and 22 points on 8 of 11 shooting, as we said. She had 4 assists, and she's always shown a pretty good touch passing the ball. Only the 5 boards, but Wilson had a few boards, and of course Kelsey's going to grab some boards off her as well. She is a player who had so much potential going to the senior ranks. Maybe for her first couple of years didn't realise it, but Getting out of Dandenong, a new spot, get some talent around her, some real elite talent, can learn of Kelsey Griffin. This might be her coming of age and really turning into one of the premier centres in the competition.
The Adelaide Lightning got their opening round win over Perth. Perth, probably one of those teams I mentioned that probably doesn't have enough depth to cover and take on some of the higher ranked teams this season. They've got some stars, of course, but the Lightning, some nice players. They've probably recruited quite well over the offseason as well.
Yeah, they have. There's some great talent there. It's highlighted by Amy Clydesdale coming off the bench. She is one of the best guards in the league, in my opinion, and coming off the bench, the luxury that they have, the amount of talent that they have in that lineup. Of course, Clydesdale's old teammate, Stephanie Blitzarves, used to be Cummings, for those who haven't caught up on the news, been a couple of years. Now she is the starting shooting guard over at Adelaide Lightning, and Coffey as well, added to that lineup, looks like an absolute superstar. She had 19 points and 15 boards in her first first time lining up with the Lightning. Seacamp, we know what she can do. Planeta, we know what she can do. And Nicholson had 15 points and 5 rebounds as well. They're going to add a very, very good player in Kayla Alexander, who's from the Indiana Fever, back into that team. That means she's either coming off the Pine or they're moving one other player down. They've got 7 or 8 legitimate stars and some real depth. And I think they're a team, along with Canberra, who are going to push for that top four, that top two, and add a lot of competition to... I think we still have Townsville and Melbourne, who we know are going to be good. They're last year's grand finalists. But these two teams that we've just mentioned are much improved, and wouldn't be surprised to see either of them in the limelight at the end of the season.
That's right. Two strong teams making their claims. But Melbourne Boomers, they were at the big dance last season. They had a minor slip-up to start the 2018-19 campaign at home against the Spirit. The second quarter to them, 19-1 run, ended up being a 29-5 second quarter. Certainly gave them the loss at home. There's much been said over the off-season about the Melbourne Boomers. They've got 4 Opals. They've got a very talented lineup. And where do you go? Obviously, they've started Jenna O'Hay, Lindsay Allen, Steph Talbot, Ezzie McBeggar, and Kayla George. You've got players like Kalani Purcell, who was a starter last season and a great, great player that does a lot without the ball, you could say. But, you know, Sarah Booth is also there to fit in as well. Monique Conti has to play her minutes. There's a lot of depth there. It's just about getting it right, isn't it?
Yeah, Ash Grant even signed a multi-year deal there and didn't grab minutes in the first game, and they've still got to add a player back into that lineup. Matty Garrick didn't play to start the season. So they've got some questions to answer. As you said, the only player who isn't an Opal in their starting five is a WNBA guard. So they're not lacking talent at this point. Will Matty Garrick slide back into the starting lineup is probably the main question. If she does go back into the starting lineup, who comes out? That's a very tough decision. They're probably going to have an Opal coming off the bench, which seems insane. I think they're absolutely loaded. They've just got to find the pieces that fit at the right times in each game. And there's going to be games where Kalani Purcell probably has to guard a bigger wing and plays 20, 25 minutes. And there's going to be games where she probably plays 5 minutes because they can go out there with all offense and Talbot at the 4 and Kayla George at the 5 and mix it up that way. But do you see Matty Garrick starting or Matty Garrick off the bench?
Well, that's the thing. Obviously, you mentioned the potential of an Opal coming off the bench in a WNBL fixture. Matty Garrick could slide in as a 6-man, but I think she's well known in Boomers circles to be that 2-guard, starting 2-guard. And that means basically that Jenna O'Hay or Steph Talbot is one that slides. And I think in the whole regime of things, Jenna O'Hay could be the one to fall back to the bench because she's basically a Mr. Fix-It. She could do it all. And, you know, she compiles 10 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. She can get a couple of blocks. And you look at the flip side, if Matty Garrick comes off the bench, she could really tear second units to shreds.
Yeah, I think that might be the direction I'd be looking. Having that superstar, a super scorer off the bench, she can put the ball in her hand, she can play off the ball and play super fast with Monique Conti in a very dynamic backup backcourt. I think the big thing with having Jenna O'Hay to start is, as you said, she doesn't need the ball all the time, but when she does, she can have the ball. I kind of like her with the more talented lineup. The interesting thing will be at the end of games, there's the possibility to slide Talbot up to the 4. You play Jenna at the 3, you have Maddie at the 2, and you still have Lindsay Allen, or you have Ezzie at centre as well. There's a number of lineup possibilities they can do, and that versatility is going to come in so well for Guy Malloy. Come the business end of the season, it's just about finding the matchups that work at the start.
And speaking of Bendigo, take nothing away from their opening round win, but you look at some of their minutes they've logged, they've really only played 7 players, a heavy load in the opening game. They've obviously got some emerging stars, Nadine Payne probably being the highlight of that. Nat Hurst has been doing it for years on years. But I just think once you hit mid-season and you know things get tough, they may be a little bit thin, like a Perth Lynx.
Yeah, they might be. They're still waiting to add Luella into that lineup, I believe, and she'll add some depth to that front line. They had Madison Wild play 17 minutes off the bench, and Cassidy McLean also play the 17 minutes. So those two look like their main bench players. Karasari only played the 4 minutes, so I was a bit surprised by that. I thought maybe stepping up. I think she's about 20 or 21 now. Maybe she'd be looking at more minutes. I think she might have played more than that last year even. But they relied on their starting lineup quite heavily, and it worked in this game, and I'm sure they can rattle off more wins than they did last year. Certainly, they look more competitive and a much more complete unit. But the lack of depth might find them out at some point in the season if they have an injury or two at the same time.
And of course, we have to make mention of Dandenong's upset win over Townsville up north, and that wraps up round one of the WNBL. Let's look forward. We've got another new segment on the podcast. It's called I Just Wanna. Let's check it out now. I just wanna. I just wanna. Well, what do you want to see, Craig? That's probably what we're going to dish up each and every week. Just something can be out of the ordinary, can be right in front of you, plain as day. But you've got to make a statement. I just want to see something, and it could be anything to do with Aussie hoops. So I'll crack first, and I just want to see a triple-double in one of the WNBL or NBLs this season, because it hasn't happened for a while. I think Cedric Jackson's the last player to do it when he was at the New Zealand Breakers in the NBL. The WNBL, it's been too long. I mean, I can't remember the last time a WNBL player. They've flirted with triple-doubles for a number of seasons, but this has got to be the season where we see a triple-double back in the national leagues.
Have you got a prediction?
Well, originally I thought it might have been Kevin Lish, but I think he's sort of been shunted out of the rotation or even the ball handling duties in Sydney. In terms of an I just want to see a triple-double, could potentially be Jenna O'Hay.
Yeah, that was where I was going to be leading as well. We saw her lead the Boomers in rebounds quite often last year. I think the issue there, they've got a world-class point guard now, Lindsay Allen. I think unless she misses a game or two, we're probably not going to see Jenna play as much lead guard this season. I think Lish a couple of years ago was the obvious one. He got up and grabbed some boards, and obviously he was probably leading the team in assists in those days. He's not now with Randall in the lineup. It's a tough one. Ty Wesley?
Will he pass enough? I was going to say he's passed a lot more than he has in the past, but will he pass enough to get 10 assists? Not too sure. The other prediction I was going to make would be Asia Taylor from Perth, but I think she'll have to rack up a couple of assists as well.
Kelsey Griffin
could certainly be a player, especially because she's such an all-round player in Canberra. She showed that in round one. So certainly leaning to the WNBL side to potentially chalk up my first ever I just wanna.
And I think that takes it to me. And I just want to see Mitch Creek back in the NBL. Obviously, everyone was hoping he'd stick around and make an NBA roster. And that is still a possibility. You know, he could get picked up somewhere else. But if he's not playing in the NBA, I'd love to see him back on his home shore and tearing it up for another year in the NBL. And then maybe give the NBA another crack next year. And do you think that's a possibility?
Well, absolutely. I think that there's been a couple of players that have tried their luck in Europe or the NBA, haven't made it. And, you know, the latest player was Mitch McCarron. Tried to take off from Cairns at the end of last season, decided, no, I'm going to make my mark. I'm Europe's calling. Turns out he didn't get too many phone calls, and before you knew it, he was back in the NBL with Melbourne United. Look, I think if DJ Kennedy is too injury-prone, and obviously we've seen him hampered over the preseason, rolled his ankle, unfortunately, in round one, didn't play in game two of round one. If he just doesn't, back up and back up and back up to play, you just never know. Mitch Creek could find himself in either A, Melbourne, or B, Sydney or Perth. And I don't think it's going to be Sydney or Perth. I think Melbourne's probably destination A. It certainly won't be Adelaide, let me tell you that, because the relationship is just sort of bundled away quickly.
This is why you don't burn bridges.
That hurt. Brisbane's still owned by the NBL as well, and they could do with a nice three as well. I know Alonzo G's doing quite well there, showing some effort, but Mitch Creek could be a very handy pickup for multiple NBL teams.
Yeah, and I actually think Creek is probably a better fit with Melbourne than Kennedy is. They probably need someone who's a little bigger because they do have McCarron and the two superstar guards there who start it's probably easier fitting Creek with those three than it is fitting Kennedy with those three. And if any injuries do linger, then that'd be the first call I'd be making, certainly if I was the Melbourne United general manager. But it would be great to see him in any team. He won't be back at Adelaide. That's the only one I'm confident he won't be. I don't think he'd be at New Zealand or a Cairns or an Illawarra. Brisbane are potential, but they'd have a lot of money going to their starting small forward already. And they do have a fairly loaded front court with Bairstow playing the four at the moment. He can also slide across to the five and some depth there.
Great little segment, that one, I just want to. And certainly, that's open to the floor. Let us know. What do you want to see in Aussie hoops? Make sure you either reply to one of the tweets where the podcast is being sent out. Send us directly at C Freeman. Use S-E-E, not the letter C. And, of course, at CP underscore Chalmers. Certainly, I just want a great little segment that we'll be rolling out each and every week. Let's take a look at some futures. Obviously, the NBA and the WNBA has kicked off. The NBA not too far away. I know it's not too Aussie-flavored, but we'll certainly try and make it as much as possible. Let's make some title picks, some surprise packets, some MVP predictions, and we can look back at them, you know, in the future. And, start off with the NBL. I think Melbourne can go back-to-back. They've got the players to do it. I think Cairns will surprise many. They've certainly been underrated this off-season. My absolute out-there pick is that Daniel Johnson has the potential to win the most valuable player of the league. I have been a critic of DJ in the past, but I think the team in Adelaide is his. He has the keys. And especially in round one, he showed that he can be the man. And the way the voting system works as well probably works in Daniel Johnson's favour. There's not too many players around him that will steal votes. An all-NBL first team obviously includes Daniel Johnson, Josh Boone, Jacob Wiley, his teammate, DJ's teammate I've been high on, Bryce Cotton. You know what you're going to get with Bryce Cotton. I think Cam Glidden's really going to break out this season in Brisbane under head coach Andre Lemanis. My defensive player of the year is a New Zealand breaker import in Sean Long. We've seen his defensive efforts in round one. Emmett Nair is a runaway rookie of the year. I think most improved can be Anthony Drimmick of the Adelaide 36ers. Craig, NBL time, the champions. Who have you got?
I've gone with Perth. I think Melbourne are the most talented team. And if Melbourne brought back Casey instead of DJ, I think that I'd probably be with them still, but a little bit more movement. I'm not sure if the team fits together as well this year. You know, you need to get McCarron minutes and touches as well. My surprise packet, I don't know if why, but I'm very, very high on Brisbane. I think if Bairstow can get back to his best, the guy was in the NBA at the age of 22. He is a very, very good Australian talent, and I'm a big believer in Alonzo G, and there's some great coaching over there, as you mentioned. Glidden could have a huge season. I think they can surprise some people and push for top four and maybe make it all the way to the end. MVP Cotton, like you said before with DJ, he's probably going to be the best player on the floor in every Perth win. And with how the voting works, I think that helps him out a lot. My all-first team, Cotton Sobey, who I think has a huge season, sort of similar to what you were saying with DJ, in terms of it's time for him to step up and really put on a show. Wiley, his teammate, Alonzo G, and I think Bogut makes it. And then slides me onto my defensive player of the year, and I've gone with Andrew Bogut, which I don't think was a very difficult decision. He was up there in NBA voting only a couple of years ago. Emmett Nah, rookie of the year, I think he runs away with it like you. And most improved, Drimmich. I don't think we didn't make our notes together, by the way. This is the first time I've heard him. But He's got a big jump up in minutes, a big jump up in role, and I think he showed in the first week he could do really well in that role.
Moving on to the WNBL, I think Melbourne Boomers get their rotations right. They've got the depth to go all the way, one better. Obviously, they've lost Liz over the off-season, but they've certainly added a number of areas where they needed. Surprise packet, I'm not sure if it's too much of a surprise anymore, but I thought the University of Canberra Capitals were going to be the team to make the biggest jump. Whether or not you call that a surprise or not, you can be the judge. I've gone outside the box again with an MVP candidate. I think Asia Taylor has made the move to Perth, and I know I spoke about their lack of depth earlier, but I think that probably works in her favour as well, where she'll be the focal point of the offense and certainly do a lot on the defensive end as well. There's plenty of highlights on the WNBL's Twitter page showing Asia Taylor on the defensive end after round one. My all-first team, Alex Bunton, I think she has a great return season. Kia Nurse, we saw how good she was in round one. Asia Taylor, as I mentioned. Susie Bakovic does what Susie Bakovic does. And Benaja Laney after she moved from Bendigo to Dandenong. My defensive player of the year, I'm not too sure. I was a big fan of Kalani Purcell for the Boomers last season, but I'm just not too sure whether she'll get the minutes to deserve the defensive player of the year. And the rookie of the year, I've got absolutely no idea. I think it's an absolute toss-up.
So I've gone, I don't buy your surprise packet because I've just gone with my championship prediction as Canberra. I think they're, besides, them or the Boomers, the most talented team. And everyone's picking the Boomers, so I'll pick Canberra. My surprise packet is Adelaide, who we talked about earlier. I think they've got a lot of talent, and adding another player who's going to be a very good player in this league. MVP, Nia Coffey, who we also just talked about, and I've picked Adelaide, so I think she'll have a great season. My all-first team, Asia Taylor, as you touched on. Steph Talbot from Melbourne, I think she is a superstar and is going to put on show this year. Coffey, obviously. Kelsey Griffin, who I think can string together a really good, healthy season, hopefully, and a player that maybe won't score as much as these others, but will do everything she has to do to win. And in her last season ever, Susie Bakovic, I just cannot see her missing an all-first team because we know that the voters love her and she's going to put on another show in her last year. And defensive player of the year, I wasn't very sure, so I played it safe and just went with last year's winner, Caleb Pettersen, who should get plenty of minutes still. And rookie of the year, not too sure. Went with who I thought was the most talented player playing their first year in the league, and that's Jazz Shelley, who also recently just committed to the University of Oregon. So well done to her.
That means the Boomers could have the last three Rookie of the Years on the roster with Izzy McBeggar, Monique Conti, and Jazz Shelley, if that's call.
Correct. But there is a couple of good young players floating around the league. I know Heal in Perth should get some minutes as well. She's very young.
Moving on to the NBA, we'll be really quick with this because obviously there's only a number of Australians playing in the NBA. Oh, I mean, look, I think Golden State's going to be the unassailable favourite for the championship. The Utah Jazz is my surprise packet, and I've obviously used that as an Aussie flavour.
That's another Canberra surprise packet. You've just picked a team that should finish top three.
Well, not so much a surprise. I think they'll meet the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Final, but that's off the back of Joe Ingles and Dante Exum absolutely balling for the Aussies. And my Aussie flavour prediction is that Ben Simmons will be an all-star this season.
I think I like that prediction. My championship prediction is also the Dubs. My surprise packet team is the Milwaukee Bucks and, of course, Thon Maker and Dele connection over there. I think they can play well under a new coach. And my Aussie flavour pick, Dante Exum has a healthy season. He plays his 20, 25 minutes per game off the bench and pushes into sixth man of the year conversation. He might not have the raw numbers to do it, but defense and team play will get him a long way.
So there's some predictions that we can look back at, the end of the season or end of all those seasons just to see how wrong we got them and just to make a fool of ourselves. So let's move into our final segment of episode number one, and that is So Funky. Don't feel funky to me. Don't feel funky. So funky, you ask. Well, each and every week we're going to ask your help. We're going to ask for your help because we need to find something quirky, something off the radar, off the mainstream in terms of Aussie hoops. We've found a couple ourselves this week, and of course, things will pop up left, right, and centre. But of course, if you've seen something, let us know via Twitter at @CP_Chalmers, at C Freeman, that's SEE, not the letter C, or at PickandRollAU. We'll certainly keep our eyes on that. This week we've gone to the NBL, the Illawarra Hawks. It's now well known over Twitter circles because before we just got in the studio, I know that Dave Anderson was tweeting about it and trying to make it go viral. But the Illawarra Hawks coach Rob Beveridge slammed the NBL after his team were forced to fly to Perth, of course, after their quadruple overtime loss to Melbourne, in economy and not in any exit row seats. Rob Beveridge said it's disgraceful. Later on, the NBL apologised, saying that the booking was late. Hawks players usually request 6 exit row seats and receive a minimum of 4. This was via Tim Robinson of Fox Wollongong. What are your thoughts on that, Craig, in terms of, obviously we don't have the NBA privileges of private jets and all that sort of thing, but economy and no exit row seats. You've got to remember, these guys are 6'8", 7', some of these big guys. And I'm 6'0", and sometimes on a domestic flight, even I struggle.
I tell you what, there is one man I would not want to be sitting next to with not much leg space, and that is Conklin. You would not want to be stuck next to him after a 4 overtime loss and no leg space.
He was telling Perth media after the Perth game, after they got belted by 40, someone asked him the question about, well, what was the story? And he said, well, you wouldn't know because you're not as big as I am. And I thought, oh, he's got a fair point. But you know what? You're correct. I wouldn't want to be sitting next to you, Brian Conklin. You've got broad shoulders, big legs. I'll be squished up in that middle seat, let me tell you.
I tell you what, there's a lot worse things than being squished up that you'll experience on that flight. My so funky, Melbourne United. I know they had a couple of changes with their court setup over the offseason. I think they're running north-south now instead of east-west. I might have had that confused the other way.
Rotated their court.
They've rotated
90 degrees.
The court, so they're running the same direction that the tennis runs now. Fits a few more people in, just a bit of a different fan experience. So it was a very late rush to get the court ready. I think they only had the court from 2 a.m. that morning.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot to put the hash marks on the key.
As in, where to mark the block, where to mark everyone, where everyone stands for a free throw?
Yeah, the free throw marks were not there. It was sort of like, yeah, I'll stand there. Yeah, I'll stand there and we'll hopefully get through this. But it did look a little quirky. If you can watch some footage from that first home game for them, check it out. Interesting.
Thankfully, most of these guys have played basketball for a long time. They've probably understood whereabouts they could stand, so not quite as important as an under-8s or an under-10s game, but certainly a nice pickup there, Craig. The other one for me is post-game of Perth versus Illawarra. The game had just finished. They usually do their handshakes on the sideline. Brian Conklin walked straight past Trevor Gleeson. Trevor even said, Brian, here, shake hands. Didn't want a bar of it.
Brian Conklin's in the podcast a lot in the last 30 seconds.
He is. Well, they've got history, you know, Brian Conklin, when he was in green at Townsville, did break Perth icon, Perth hero, Damian Martin's jaw. And, well, maybe there's something going back to that. Just thought, you know what? There's not a great relationship between those two.
Maybe he's just a little hard of hearing. Couldn't hear the Bryans.
Just before we end podcast one, anything else we haven't covered? The Australian Opals are now third in the world. They've gone up from fourth after winning their silver medal. They go past France.
On the category of the Opals, probably our most talented and successful Opal going around right now. Big shout out to Liz Cambage for going to watch the Boomers in game one, which is great by itself, but that's not all. She went onto the court and stayed post-game to join the athletes and sign anything the kids wanted, which is a great thing the Boomers do. A lot of the WNBL teams do it. All the kids line up and get their signatures, and Liz definitely didn't have to leave her box, didn't have to go onto the court, didn't have to sit down and didn't have to stay for half an hour to sign kids' autographs. And I think that's a great thing that hopefully all of our athletes can do, because that's how you get the young kids continuing to love the sport.
Absolutely. Great for the sport of basketball. Big shout out to you, Liz Cambage. Just before we wrap up episode one of the refreshed, rebranded Pick and Pop, any fan questions for sure? We'd love to hear what you have to say via Twitter, or if you can hit us up in any other way via the Pick and Roll on pickandroll.com.au. We love to hear your thoughts. Hopefully you're still listening by the end of this podcast and you're looking forward to podcast number two. That's it for podcast number one. Steve Chalmers, Craig Freeman. Hopefully we've provided enough information to cover you, and you can speak to all your friends and family about Aussie hoops, because you're the most knowledgeable one now after what we've dived into and delivered. Craig, it's been a pleasure.
Been brilliant to be here, and I'm excited to be back next week.
Absolutely. Next Tuesday night, we hope to be landing episode two of the Pick and Pop. We hope to have your company then, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye for now.